Thank you very much. That was beautiful. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all this morning? We'll see. All right. Joseph had the bag this week. Let's see what we've got in here. Oh, man. A fidget spinner. Y'all know what the... Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Boo, yes. Yep. Okay, wonderful. Well, what do we use fidget spinners for?
Because you spin them, and I have one of those.
Yeah, you spin them, and they're fun, and they help us... Joel, have us? Well, you just have a seat right there. They help you to not be bored. When do you get bored?
Sometimes
when you watch TV, you get bored, sure. And there are some other times we can get bored, and it's not fun to be bored, is it?
No.
And guess what? Do you know what God gave us to keep us from getting bored? Not fidget spinners. It's something else. He gave us work. He gave us the opportunity to be stewards of His creation and to help each other out and to come alongside people in ways that can help them and do for them and come alongside them. And so each and every day we have the opportunity to help somebody out. And today is Veterans Sunday, and we recognize and honor those veterans who have helped us out and who have come alongside. They refused to be bored, right, and decided to help and to come alongside and do for us. And so we are grateful for that. And so I want to remind us each and every day, if you get bored, maybe we pray and say, God, what would you like me to do today? How would you like me to help somebody? I know, yeah. Christmas is still a ways away. All right, so there you are, sir. Now, who would you like to give the bag to that hasn't had it in a while? Franklin hasn't had it in a while. All right, Franklin, there you go, bud. Now, next week will be the last week for the bag for the rest of the year, and then we'll have Christmas and Advent, and we'll be looking at different stuff, all right? So Franklin's going to close us out this year with the bag, all right? All right, well, let's pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church. We're going to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the opportunity we have each and every day to do what you have called us to do, to be about the work of making disciples. Lord, we thank you for these disciples that are here gathered around this morning. We pray that you would continue to lead and guide them into the men and women you have called them to be, Lord, and we thank you for them. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12. This was another favorite scripture passage given to me last year to be looking at. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Matt, you haven't gotten to mine yet. I promise I have all of the favorite scripture passages that you all have given me, and they are coming. They may not come this year, but they are on the way. I promise you that. Or I'm sorry in advance, either way. And so today, again, is one of favorite scripture passages from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Hear now the word of our Lord. Aim to live quietly. Mind your own business and earn your own living, just as I told you. That way you'll behave appropriately toward outsiders and you won't be in need. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we in the strength of the bodies that you have given to us be faithful to your call upon us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt like an outsider before? Anyone? From time to time? Yes. Have you ever been the one who's a little bit different? Yes. Yes, everyone's pointing at me. Yeah, he's way different. We've all known people, and we've all probably been that person at least once in our lives, sitting in a crowded room all by ourselves, desiring to be included, desiring to be part of everything else that's going on. We may be there with countless others, but we're by ourselves. We are outsiders kind of peering in, desiring to be a part of what is taking place. The church, as we understand it, is meant to be a place offering a space of welcome to all persons. Now, we know that the church is not the building. It's us who have gathered within this space. And really, it's only the church when we are together in the way that we are today. And this is to be a space of welcome to all persons, a space of recognizing the outsider, seeing those who the world tends to ignore. And yet I wonder this morning, how many choose to remain outsiders because they don't like what they see in the church? They don't appreciate or understand the things that go on, or maybe they've had bad experiences and so they don't want to be a part of that. They've considered church. Maybe they've even tried it. But they've decided that we don't tend to practice what we preach. So they turn and run for it before they're corrupted like we are. In verse 9 here of this passage, Paul speaks of brotherly love, showing affection and love towards each other. And he offers us some practical advice about being a people known by our love. How will they know that we are Christians? By our love. How do they tend to know we're Christians? By our hypocrisy. By the fact that they can't find us at this time on Sunday morning. By the fact that we're less than courteous towards the waiters and the waitresses Sunday afternoon at lunch. That's how they tend to know us. That's how they tend to see us. And that's not a fair representation, is it? And who is it up to change their perception of us? Well, it is us. The main cause for the advice that Paul gives, the main reason he gives this advice, is so that outsiders will desire to know more about who we are, but more importantly, they will desire to know more about who God is and who we are as a result of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Paul gives us three practical steps, three pieces of advice that we can incorporate in our own lives, and in so doing, the outsiders will see and they'll maybe want to be a part of what we are. Maybe they'll want to find out more about who we say we are and who we claim that God is. And so I want us to consider these three practical steps today. I want us to consider them, to figure out where we practice them and maybe where we fall short on those, and then adjust, and then seek to be better ourselves. So the first thing he tells us here in verse 11, he says, aim to live quietly. And how many of us like quiet? All right, now how many of us like silence? Right? Silence tends to be pretty uncomfortable. You'll notice when you drive in town, there's a noise ordinance. I wonder if I'm speaking too loud at this point. I don't know. Maybe it's just noise at this. I don't know. We enjoy quiet, but what Paul is saying here, the implication of this quiet living is a controlled quietness. Controlling ourselves and remaining quiet, having time for silence. And do we allow quiet in our lives, or do we tend to need to fill the silence with noise? Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm working or when I'm doing something, I like a little background noise. I don't know why, but it just kind of helps kind of comfort me and keep me focused on things. And so I'll have maybe the radio playing, or maybe there's people in the fellowship hall, or there's things going on. And so these things kind of help me. Other people need absolute silence in order to concentrate and to focus on the task at hand. And how many of us, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, are okay with silence? I'm gonna wait for the first cough. How many of us are comfortable with silence? Quiet living enables us to hear God's still, small voice. We remember the story of Jacob. God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the storm. But the still, small voice in the deafening silence in that cave. How many of us have ever told our children why there are two ears and only one mouth? So that you'll listen twice as often as you speak. I just said that to Joel not too long ago. Do we show them that rule, or do we just tell them that rule? I've always admired those who speak sparingly. Obviously, I'm not one of those. But I've always admired those people that say very few words and are just very quiet. But when they do speak, what do we all do? We lean in to hear what they have to say, because we know that they've been thinking and pondering on this for quite some time. And I've always been a little jealous of those types of people, because when they speak, it's very profound. And you know that even though they don't say anything, they are fully engaged in the conversation or whatever it is that's taking place. Quiet living is focused living. It refuses and seeks not to get caught up in the distractions of life. There's a simplicity to quiet living that I think all of us would do well to incorporate more in our day-to-day lives. Because we know that love requires focus, It requires simplicity. Quiet. A quiet life doesn't have time to get caught up in the busyness of others. And that leads us right into our next piece of advice. First was to live quietly. Secondly is mind your own business. Anyone ever said that before? When do we tend to say that? We tend to say that when somebody comes over to us and says, hey, you know what, I think you ought to maybe do this or do that, or maybe you should stop doing this or stop. Well, mind your own business, right? I've been told that many times, usually by Abby, and I've been, right? Yeah, it's kind of a running joke we have. But I want us to consider what Paul is saying in this phrase, mind your own business, and what he's not saying, okay? Because we tend to get confused with this phrase. Minding your own business, he is not telling us to ignore others. He is not telling us to turn a blind eye to the people beside us and around us. We are all accountable to one another as Christians. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are accountable to one another. As United Methodists, we are accountable to each other. As United Methodist Christians here at Petrie Memorial United Methodist Church, we are accountable to one another. It is our duty, it is our right, it is our honor and our privilege to come alongside one another and to say, you know what, I know you're probably going to tell me to mind my own business, but I love you enough to tell this to you now, or to encourage you with this now. This phrase, live and let live, it's baloney. It's lazy. We're not to live and let live. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We're not to ignore each other. If we see someone in need, it is our duty and our responsibility to step in and to help. Today we honor those who recognized this duty and did something about it through their time in the service. And again, we thank you for that. So this is not telling us to ignore others. What this is telling us to do is not to be busybodies, gossips, things of that nature. Don't get caught up in the affairs of others to the detriment of quiet, focused living. There's a story that I heard years ago of a pastor who went to this church in this very small rural town. And when he got there, his first 6 months were very difficult. 6 months. He found out about 6 months in that there was one of the ladies in the church who was the town gossip. And anytime he went anywhere, anytime he did anything, there were rumors that started flying around about what he was doing or what not he was not doing. Luckily, that doesn't happen here in Elkton. But he was having a difficult time being the pastor of this community. And he finally found out who this person was, and he asked her if he could come over to her house for a visit. And dinner, to come over, just as pastors tend to do. And of course, he knew that she would tell everybody in town that she was having the pastor over for supper. And of course, she did let everybody know. And after some time of just talking and sharing pleasantries, he addressed with her the effect she was having on his ministry and the things of that nature. And she wouldn't hear it and kept explaining it all away. And so as he was preparing to leave, he decided to do something that was really rather bold and audacious. He decided to walk home. And in so doing, he left his car in her driveway. And so the next morning, when everyone got up and got to work, there was the preacher's car still in her driveway. She didn't gossip as much anymore after that. She found it a lot more sensible to listen to others and to maybe hear their side of the story before sharing this, that, or the other. When we're living quietly, we will seek to give people our help rather than our opinion. We will offer them all of who we are rather than offering them all of who we think they should be. When we offer them Jesus, we offer them love and grace. Some things don't need to be known by us. In fact, some things we'd probably rather not know. Some things need to be kept secret. They need to be kept hidden for various reasons. And so we have to begin to learn to trust one another. And trust is built in minding our own business, living quietly, not ignoring others, but also not being too concerned with what they're doing or not doing. He tells us to live quietly, to mind our own business. And third, he says to earn your own living. Basically, don't be a mooch. Don't be idle. Don't waste time. A quiet life, minding one's own business, can only be accomplished if we are busy. Boredom is the enemy of discipleship. Boredom is the enemy of growth. If you've ever spent any time with people recovering from addiction or working through a process, boredom is something to stay away from. Boredom and hunger and a few other things, because they tend to bring that person back to this addictive behavior, whatever it may be. And boredom is one of those. And we are far too bored, I think, far too often. There are far too many things that we allow to just kind of keep us from doing anything. And when we get bored, we tend to get in trouble. When we get bored, we tend to want to stir things up or do things that we know we shouldn't. We certainly aren't living quietly or minding our own business when we're bored. And so we must be busy. Not busy for busyness' sake, but we owe it to God and to others to stay busy in the work that God created for us. It's one of the things we tend to forget when God was creating the world. We remember the Sabbath, and he created us to have a time of rest. But the other 6 days, he created for us the opportunity to work, to be good stewards, to care for others, to do for others, to be about the business of taking care of ourselves. Now, as Paul's writing this to the Thessalonians, there are those within the community that aren't doing anything but are expecting everything. And so he's trying to help everyone to understand that everyone needs to pitch in. Everyone needs to come alongside. Everyone needs to be busy doing the work, because the work is a great work. It is a life-changing work. It is a disciple-making work, a Jesus-introducing work. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to clock in for that kind of work. We have a responsibility to busy ourselves with God's mission of making disciples. He tells us to go and make disciples. He doesn't tell us to wait till there's time. He doesn't tell us to wait until tomorrow. He doesn't give any kind of stipulations like that. He simply says to go, to be mindful, to be prayerful, to focus on the things that we need to focus on. We have, again, the opportunity to take these home as reminders to be in prayer for our soldiers, for our veterans, for their families. What else do we need to remind us to just be in prayer with God on a regular basis? What trinket or visual aid do you need to be reminded to be about the work of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? What is it you need to spur you on to that work? If we follow these three steps, living quietly, minding our own business, and earning our own living, we will honor and glorify God. We will begin to see the outsiders, and our heart will begin to break for them, wanting them to be part of what we have. How many of Jesus' stories of healing take place in and through those whom the world has ignored and has forgotten and turns a blind eye to? And we have the opportunity to come in, come alongside them and tell them that God loves them, that we love them, that we love each other because we live quietly. We mind our own business and we earn our own way. Let us be a people busy with God's work. Let us be a people who are not content to sit idle or to fill the silence with noise. Let us love one another the way that we should, so that the world will want to know more about what we have to offer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your grace, for your mercies that are new each day. Give us to know your love and grace. Help us to be a people seeking to be practical in the way we love others. May we walk into a room and people know that there is something different about us because of your love and your salvation present in our lives. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.